Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Happy birthday to Bart. Happy birthday to Bart. Happy birthday to Barty. Happy birthday to Bart. Happy birthday, El Bardo.
What? The hell was that? What did you do that for?
I didn't say happy birthday to you all day.
Well, that is funny. That is funny. Good to be with you. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz, who I don't think that your voice is that bad, if I may say so.
I actually hate singing happy birthday. It's the worst thing you can do.
Why?
Because it's not conducive to my vocal talents. I can hold a note. Like, I worked in music before I got here. Happy birthday is just such a generic, you know, lazy song that I don't, there's no feeling into it. You're my guy. I love you. Happy birthday.
Oh, I love you too.
I just don't like singing happy birthday.
There's certain songs, that if I sing, someone around me might be like, hey, your voice is okay or not bad, or sometimes, one time somebody even said it was good. But then if it's not in my right key, you know,
exactly.
Then it's like, what are you doing to me?
Like, I should have gone with the Stevie Wonder, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday.
No, you did good. You did better.
Well, yeah, you know, because I'm not a woman.
Well, you'd ask me right before we got on. Carlos says, how was your birthday? And I said, you know, it was fine. I mean, so we technically celebrated my birthday yesterday. And all we did was we went to a Brewers game. That's all we did. We got a foul ball.
Yeah.
So that story's coming at some point. Because I hope that never happens to me again. That was scary. That was, I think my family, it's before foul ball and after foul ball. We're a changed family after what happened. So we went to the game, had a nice time. And then today was a normal day, as I think it should be when you're 41 years old. And so what I kept saying to everybody was 41 down, hopefully 41 more to go. And then that means I get to live to 80. If I right now, yes, I would agree to that. I would not risk that at all. I would take it. I would know. If this was the turn, that'd be great. I worry. I don't know what, I mean, I don't think I'm going to die young, but I don't think I'm going to live that long. I take myself for a real, like, 72 kind of guy. You know?
Yeah, what did I say? I'm like, you don't turn 54 every day? Like, 41? I didn't realize you were that young.
I don't know. But even
41 going on dead.
Even 72, I would sign up for right now. Like, right, yes, I'd take it.
Oh, if you give me anything in the 60s, I'll sign a napkin right now.
Yeah, I'll sign anything. Can I see my kid graduate college if he goes that route? Can I just see him in his 20s? God, it's so morbid. Oh, my God. Thanks for doing that to me. But one of the things I said to Carlos was a lot of people have just resigned to the, it is your birthday, you know, happy birth. Like, I don't know. There's no pomp and circumstance to it, which I don't even know that I'm looking for. It's just that everyone was doing the same thing. And then here comes Carlos Ortiz mentioning it, which I didn't even want him to do. But the way that he did it embarrassed himself more, although it really didn't, because I think that was pretty good. So thank you for that, Carlos. That meant not a lot, not the world, but it meant something to me. So thank you for that. All right, let's do a normal show. I do want to, the foul ball story, I feel like I'm going to save it. I'll get into it at some point. It's just that, like, when you and I were at the Cubs opener, we had a lot of balls that were coming towards us.
Thank you for that.
Crap. But then they would, like, go a few rows behind or to the side. Like, anytime you think a foul ball is coming to you, it never does. But this one did not stop. And I don't know. We're questioning our reflexes as parents after the fact. It was quite a harrowing experience. So I'll get into that a little bit later. The Brewers did win. That was good. They won on my sort of moved birthday. Because when your birthday's on a Monday, you know, it's like a holiday observed. What am I going to do? Take off and just be at home on a Monday? That's dumb. So celebrated it, air quotes, on the weekend. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'll tell you something else we did yesterday. We watched a couple of Game 7s. Yes, a couple of them. I know you guys might think that I'm not super NHL guy because I tell you all the time that I'm not super NHL guy. But man, I feel bad for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I've got enough stats to depress you if you're a Maple Leafs fan or not. I'll have that a little bit later tonight. This ineptitude with Game 7s. You know, sometimes after playoff losses with my teams, I say, oh man, you guys don't know what it's like. You get so close all the time. What's even the point? You begin to be apathetic. Like, you can have so much regular season success, but if you're going to lose in the playoffs, yeah, other teams and fan bases might be jealous of you, but they shouldn't be. I know who sympathizes with me, and they've got it even worse. That's Toronto Maple Leafs fans. Oof. Jeez. Yikes. Rough. They lose 6-1 last night. It was the third period. They were down 3-0, and they punched in a goal. And they showed outside the stadium, and Toronto fans are like, okay, all we need, there was like 17 minutes left when they scored or something. All we need is just get the first one. They got the first one. It's very exciting. We have a chance. This could be it. But before you even like start to think of how the next one's going to come, Florida scored again. And then it was all over but the credits, as I say. So Florida moving on to the NHL's Final Four. Just a really tough season again for the Maple Leafs. It'll be Florida versus Carolina. That game will be tomorrow. And it will be Dallas versus Canada's last remaining hope in the Edmonton Oilers. This is a matchup of 2-3 on both sides. Maple Leafs were the one in the East. Jets were the one in the West. And now we could have a rematch of a year ago between Edmonton and Florida, which, of course, was the record for longest travel between two teams in a championship round between Miami and, of course, Edmonton. So the NHL series, conference final series, will kick off tomorrow, Tuesday night. Same thing in the NBA, where tomorrow we're going to see the Western Conference Finals begin. And on Wednesday, we'll have the Pacers versus the Knicks. Now, tomorrow's series will be the Timberwolves versus the Thunder. It will be the Oklahoma City Thunder after beating the Denver Nuggets. So this series, they exchange blows. Teams, when they needed to, dug deep, did what they needed to do to win. Going back to Game 7 was going to be a tall order, especially since there was some fatigue starting to show with Denver. There's injuries with Aaron Gordon. There's guys that almost became unplayable in the series with Michael Porter Jr. There was the what are you going to get from me, Russell Westbrook, which seemed to be amplified in these playoffs. It just seemed like as the playoffs are not only a battle of talent, they're also a battle of attrition. And Denver is in a losing battle and was in a losing battle. And the Thunder got the 125-93 win. Now, for some of this game, first quarter was pretty competitive. Denver took a lead right away. And then the second quarter was pretty competitive as well. And then the Thunder did something that I don't know you would do if you were the coach, or I don't know if you would do if you were playing this game on 2K or what, but the Thunder said, we're going to put Alex Caruso on Nikola Jokic. We're going to put Alex Caruso on Nikola Jokic. Not switch to, not on accident, but on purpose. The Thunder matched the Nuggets 4-4 during that time. Just a short little stretch. Jokic was 0-for-1 with the turnover. Did have a couple of points on free throws. But he was just getting battled and battled. And it gave the Thunder a little bit of motivation, a little bit of energy. As right after that small lineup standstill, the Thunder went on a run and closed out the final 3 minutes of the first half with a 14-point lead. It was a 1-point lead to a 14-point lead thanks to an 18-5 run that was kicked off by this defense and this strategy of putting Caruso on Nikola Jokic. Very physical, very aggressive. They were hoping for fouls, Denver was, but they weren't getting them. It's always weird when you see a guy that tall, a guy not as tall, battling, you're like, it's harder when there's a height difference. Either it leads to more fouls being called because it just looks different, or sometimes it leads to less fouls being called. But this wasn't a game about officiating. Denver got beat. At one point, Oklahoma City, they won by 32. At one point, they were up by 43. They had a 27-14 advantage on fast break points. The Thunder outscored the Nuggets 64-42 in the paint. There were 22 Denver turnovers that led to 37 points. So it was the Thunder team that eventually we thought we would see. It just took them a while to show up. Or they just got there in a harder manner than they needed to. Remember, all the way back 2 weeks ago tonight was game one. of this series where the Thunder were leading pretty comfortably. And then even when Denver got it closer, sometimes a 3-point lead seems like a 13-point lead because the other team just can't get over the hump. And that's what was happening with Denver. And then Oklahoma City, up 3, started to foul Denver so that they wouldn't have an opportunity to take a 3-point shot. We remember that. Jokic wasn't on the floor. And then when they did have the ball, Denver's obviously going to want to try to foul the Thunder, but there was one play, SGA just got the inbound and took it right to the hoop, wasn't contested, didn't dribble it out, didn't really run any time off the clock, was in Denver's favor to have that happen, and the Thunder gave one away. The Nuggets stole one, fine, but the Thunder kind of gave that one away. They rebounded with a big 43-point win in Game 2, but then the Nuggets got Game 3 in overtime. Thunder get Game 4, Thunder get Game 5. The Thunder should be closing out this series a couple of different times, if it even should have been this long to begin with. But Denver with Jokic in Game 6 at home showing yet another sign of life. And then it just seemed like they ran out of steam or they ran out of gas. Certainly if Denver would have won, Minnesota would be winning this series without question. They just can't keep up this pace. And they weren't able to keep up this pace in the series, so it's a moot point. Now, what's interesting about this series is, yes, the Thunder took longer than maybe they needed to, but they also took longer than maybe they needed to, meaning they win 7 games, more wear and tear in each and every game, and you're trying to prevent that in the postseason. Then you have a Minnesota team that is going to be a little more rested, not just from this series, but overall. They've only played 10 games so far. They've won each series they've played against the Lakers and the Warriors. They've won each series in 5. And they have to play first for some reason instead of the East. So they are playing tomorrow night. The game's going to be in Oklahoma City. They'll have a raucous crowd, of course, getting back to the conference finals for the first time in a decade. But the Timberwolves have had a little bit of rest, and they just finished that game 2 days ago by the time they tip off. Maybe Minnesota can come in and steal one, although I don't know that it would be stealing one. I don't know that it would be stealing one. Is Minnesota the best team left here? Quite possibly. I think the Timberwolves and Thunder, I would probably put them ahead of the Knicks and Pacers if I'm ranking 1, 2, 3, 4. But maybe that second spot is up for grabs. I'm not sure. It's pretty tight. Thunder are the best team left. It's just a matter of, are they going to be able to find that like championship experience that they don't really have? Are they going to be able to get over some of these humps? And so far, they withstood this test, but also the Nuggets, you know, the wheels are falling off. So there was that factor to it as well. The Timberwolves, as long as everybody stays healthy, with that caveat, there's a lot of different ways that they can beat you. And Anthony Edwards, for 2 postseasons now, has been taking out legends, has been taking out stars of this game. Last year, Minnesota beat the Suns with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Then they beat the Nuggets with Nikola Jokic. Okay, this year it's the Lakers with LeBron and Luka. And then it's the Warriors with Steph and Jimmy and Draymond. And now it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you could knock off the MVP, even though he still hasn't been awarded that yet. You'd think maybe before the game, Tuesday, they'll finally give him that award. I didn't want to do it between the Thunder and the Nuggets for whatever reason. If it was Jokic, I'm surprised that we'd still haven't named the MVP yet. But that game is tomorrow, and the Pacers and Knicks are on Wednesday. From the Denver side of things, and this seems to be a familiar thing with a lot of these teams that are getting knocked out of the postseason in the NBA, is that what's next? You're kind of screwed. Denver's kind of screwed looking ahead to next year. The Cavs, in a way, are kind of screwed. The Celtics are kind of screwed. The Warriors are kind of screwed. You don't have the ability anymore, if you are a team, that has paid guys to come and try to win a championship. If you don't win a championship, it's hard to get your team better based on the new salary cap rules. So what does that mean for all of these teams? What does that mean for Denver? We'll explore that a little bit here because it's, look, this is going to be the seventh year in a row there's a seventh different champion. And as I was going through it the other night, there's a lot of teams in the NBA that have won one title, two titles. But then there's the Celtics who have 18, the Lakers who have 17, the Warriors have seven. Those three teams have more than half of the titles ever given out in the association. Parity has not been the name of the game in the NBA ever. And now this is an unprecedented run for this league for parity. You know, David Stern's NBA, it was three or four teams there to draw. Anything goes now. The Oklahoma City Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Indiana Pacers, and the New York Knicks. Of those four teams, they're the only one that's won a title. And it's been, my math might be fuzzy, but close to a million years since they've won. So should be a wild and unpredictable round in the conference finals coming up starting tomorrow for really both leagues that I mentioned here, the NHL and the NBA. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Thunder Radio Network with the call as Oklahoma City beats the Nuggets in Game 7. Once Oklahoma City took a lead late in the second quarter, it seemed like, okay, this is not going to be as exciting as we thought a Game 7 could be, and it was not. But that leads us to the Western Conference Finals, where the Thunder will take on the Timberwolves and the Pacers will take on the Knicks. So teams no longer competing for a championship include the one-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers, the two-seeded Boston Celtics, the two-seeded Houston Rockets, the three-seeded LA Lakers, the four-seeded Denver Nuggets, the five-seeded Milwaukee Bucks. And for a lot of these teams, they're going to be in for harsh realities with the new CBA, the latest collective bargaining agreement that the NBA put in has really, really changed the way that teams can build. Remember when Kevin Durant signed with the Golden State Warriors? That was right place, right time. And it was cause for a change for a lot of people because the rich got much richer. Now, I still contend if Durant doesn't go there, the Cavs pick up more finals. The Warriors needed to make that move to then beat the Cavaliers because Warriors took one, Cavs took one, and then Warriors added KD and took another two. The salary cap jumped more than 30% that year because of the new media rights deal. So the next time they got around to it, the CBA in 2023 added cap smoothing, which limits the year-over-year salary cap jumps to just 10%. So we're not going to see big changes like that anymore. That's why a lot of the movement is trades. Maybe players asking for trades, or Nico Harrison waking up in the middle of the night back from his trip to the future, knowing that, all right, here's where I trade Luka. Then I get a guy who's going to get hurt. I'll get the number one pick and get Cooper Flagg. And then the next year, the Dallas Mavericks are going to win a title and get rewarded for bad behavior. It certainly seems that way. If the Dallas Mavericks win a title next year, 100, I already think 95% Nico Harrison went to the future and back. I'm at 100 if they win a title. I'm like more believing in that than that I am me. Does that make sense? I could go further into that, but I won't. So what happened is, with the cap smoothing, you didn't see as many high-profile players change teams in free agency. And trade requests still happen, but outside of Luka, the biggest guy to get dealt was Fred VanVleet, a one-time All-Star. The other problem with the CBA is these aprons. Two different salary levels that are above the league's soft salary cap and soft and the luxury tax. So when you go past the first apron and then the second apron, there's penalties that you can't build your roster a certain way anymore. You can't trade certain ways anymore. There's a lot of things that you cannot do. Three teams that are above the second apron coming into this offseason are Boston, Cleveland, and Phoenix. The other batch of teams that are probably on bird rights and minimums, so they're also kind of hamstrung, but they'll avoid the second apron, include the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Warriors, and some others. If you get into that second apron, so now we're talking Boston, Cleveland, and Phoenix, there's things you cannot do. You can't trade first-round picks 7 years out. You can't use the mid-level exception on a signing. If you're in the second apron 3 out of 5 seasons, your first-round pick goes automatically to the end of the round. You can't get a player in return in an outgoing sign-and-trade. You can't use cash in trades. And the big one is outgoing salaries can't be combined in trades. So one thing that you lose, if we're talking about how does Cleveland get better, how does Boston get better, well, look at Boston, for example, which may have to be very different. You got new owners coming in. You got Jason Tatum hurt. What do they want to pay for here? So previously, you could take a guy like, oh, I don't know, Porzingis at 30 and maybe Peyton Pritchard at 7 and combine those salaries and get somebody in return for $37 million. You could combine. You can't do that when you're in this apron. So you can't take a couple of pieces. And where that would come in handy is like Kristaps is expiring, so maybe somebody's trying to get off of a contract. Situations like that. Might be a tough example because Boston's in a tough position already. But they've got to figure out what they're going to do with their team. And they don't have a lot of abilities to make those kind of moves that they would in the past because these aprons are limiting. And the Denver Nuggets now, after losing, are in a similar situation where there's not much that they can do to get better. And in fact, that's kind of how they got to where they are right now. And that's maybe why their GM and coach were dismissed a week before the season ended. Are the Nuggets good? Or is Jokic that good? Like, Jokic MVP, I think it should be SGA. You can't keep giving him to Jokic, but maybe, you know what? Maybe you should. Because how good is this? Is it most valuable player? Well, then, I mean, what are the Nuggets without Jokic? Their roster needs help. Jamal Murray, good when healthy. Aaron Gordon, you saw big moments from him this postseason, but he's not healthy. Christian Brown, he stepped up and filled the shoes of KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but who was there to fill his shoes? Nobody. So the bench is rough. That's why as these guys were getting hurt or ineffective, there weren't really a lot of options. Michael Porter Jr. was very bad in these playoffs. He's got $79 million remaining to him over the next 2 years. Maybe you find a team willing to take that on. Denver doesn't really have a backup center besides team guy DeAndre Jordan. They don't have a first-round pick. Orlando has it. They don't have a second-round pick. Phoenix has it. They have no cap room. They'll probably avoid the second apron, so maybe a little bit of maneuvering. And then they'll have a coach in David Adelman that even if they don't want to give him the job, they have to give him the job. Right? This guy Antonio pierced his way into, like, okay, well, we could look for other options, but we kind of have to give this a try since he did well in his interim role. We kind of have to do it. So I think that's where Denver goes, but what is this team going to look like next year? So what this new second apron is doing and what this new CBA is doing, and it's wild that the owners all agreed to this, but there may be a silver lining for fans. The offseason, what do we always say about the NBA? Like the offseason is great drama and it's like better than the regular season and better than the actual play. Well, this CBA, if there is some positive, it may flip that. It may flip that around. Because there's not much a lot of these teams can do in the offseason. Will we see a Giannis trade? Maybe. I don't think so. Unless he's straight up for Evan Mobley, which was the dumbest thing I ever heard. Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo were, I mean, how do you see Mikal Bridges and Rudy Gobert get traded for five first round picks, be smart basketball guys, and then suggest that not facetiously? And why does every time somebody talk about Giannis getting traded, why do they try to advocate on behalf of the other team? Milwaukee needs something in return here too, people. Okay. But then what it's going to do is these teams, if they don't win in the playoffs, they're screwed. There's no, oh, we'll just go sign Kevin Durant lifeboat. They're screwed. You build a team, you get like two shots to win. And so the playoffs are going to be better because there's going to be more of a sense of urgency, more desperation. Not that there's not in the playoffs. Not that there's not a sense of urgency. There is, but now there's more. Because it's no longer, hey, our season's going to come to an end. It's this group that we've assembled and our chances at titles are going to quickly come to an end because there's not much we can do to make it better. And in fact, we're stuck and we have to get out of it and shed some salary. So we're in a different landscape here. We're in a league that's trying to focus on parity rather than dominance. We're going to see our seventh different champion in 7 years straight, which has never happened before in the NBA. 7 years where there's seven different champions. Remember, this is a year where the or a league where the Celtics and Lakers have 35 titles between them. Almost half of how long the NBA has been around. This championship is going to be won by either the Thunder, who won it as the Sonics a million years ago, but I can't tell. Are they? Does that count? I need to see it. I don't know. It's weird. That's a little sketchy. Or the Wolves, never. Pacers, never. Knicks, 73. So parity is the name of the game, and this new CBA is building to that, which may make it harder for some of these teams to get bounced, but the playoffs are certainly, wouldn't you say these playoffs were better than a lot of the playoffs that you can remember? I think that is the intended consequence, and that's what we are seeing. They don't want dynasties anymore. That is clear. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. AJ Perez is going to join us in about 25 minutes. There's a Netflix documentary coming out tomorrow, Untold, The Fall of Favre. It looks at the history of Brett Favre, all of it, good and bad. He's a producer on it, the producer on it. He will talk to us in about 25 minutes. I'm very eager to watch this thing. Not a big documentary guy, but I'm going to watch this immediately when it comes out. That is coming up in a bit. Bulletin Blitz straight ahead. Let's get an update right now. It's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Tatum, two dribbles to the right, hangs in the air, runs it off the window and in.
The biggest voices in sports.
Towns fires away. Bang! Carl Anthony Towns from downtown.
The heartbreak.
Grabbing his left knee. He's in some severe pain.
The celebrations.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Networks. Wherever you are listening to us right now, that's the right place. Whether it's SiriusXM Channel 375, your local affiliate, or the free Odyssey app, if you can hear my voice, and you heard me sing to Bart Winkler, it's his birthday, you got us. And birthday boy, we will start here. Let's go to the Game 7 yesterday in the Western Semis. The Thunder are heading to the Western Conference Finals after they blew the doors off of the Nuggets, 125-93. SGA, he led all scorers with 35 points. And let's hear what he had to say on what he learned about his team after a tough-fought series against the Nuggets.
We can win no matter the environment, no matter the type of game. It could be ugly, it could be pretty, it could be high scoring, it could be low scoring, it could be a lot of free throws, it could be no free throws. Like, no matter what it is, we can find a way to win. And I think that's very important this time of year. But yeah, like I said, I already knew that about us, and we have to keep implying that going forward.
I think the biggest question facing the Thunder is, do they have, I don't want to say experience, but I think I am going to. I don't know that anybody trust that they're going to be able to continue to deliver in these big moments because they haven't done it yet. And last year they were the number one seed and then they came up short. But the Timberwolves, I think, present a pretty tough challenge. I'm very excited for this series. The Thunder are going to be the favorite, and I think the Knicks are a small favorite on the other side. but there's no reason that Minnesota can't win this series. And so what the Thunder need to do is not lose game one. Not lose game one like they did against Denver. Eventually they were able to make up for that mistake. And I'm a little more worried about it this time around because of the short rest. Minnesota's been off a few days. They've been able to kind of game plan. The Thunder had to play a game yesterday, and then for whatever reason, the West starts before the East, so there's a tighter window for them. Again, if it was Denver, I think Minnesota would, I mean, I would put my right arm on them winning tomorrow. No offense if you don't. I don't know. Well, you never know what you can say anymore these days. Anyway, I'm excited for this series. That's what the dump button's for.
Yeah, that series will start tomorrow. I also looked at the schedule. I'm like, wow, Pacers and Knicks don't start until Wednesday. But all right, yeah, that'll be tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern on your ESPN channels. Let's go to the losing side because you did allude to a little bit of what the Nuggets and a couple other teams had to look forward to in the offseason. Interim head coach, you would imagine he would be the head coach going forward. David Edelman says it was a tough way to end the season.
When you lose, it's crushing. And it's the last time you'll be in the room with those guys. And it's beyond that, you only get one of these. You know, this is the one moment we had together to make this run. And they're all individual to themselves. And they're all so special. Anybody that's played sports understands that. So walking out of that locker room is, you know, it's crushing. And it's going to take a while to get over that.
I wonder how quickly or how not quickly we'll find out what the future is with the Denver Nuggets at the head coaching position. That is going to be interesting because, again, David Edelman, they had no choice. They fire Michael Malone with 3 days, like the ship is burning, or sinking, makes more sense, or whatever. But then he has 3 games, and then he's in the playoffs, and he won the first series and took him to 7 against the number one seed. So, again, you would think, if that's your job interview, they're going to interview candidates. But if that's your job interview, you did pretty well. Unless there's a bigger name out there. I'm not sure. Mike Budenholzer? I'm sure he'll be back in Denver, David Edelman.
Yeah, I would think so, too. He did a great job. And plus, what are your alternatives? Let's rewind a little bit over to Saturday. If you had Caitlin Clark dropping a triple-double in the Indiana Fever season opener in the WNBA, congratulations, you made some loot. Indiana crushed the Chicago Sky 93-58. But outside of Caitlin Clark's triple-double, a lot of focus was on the, I guess you want to say, beef between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I think it's lazy to call it that, but Caitlin Clark was assessed a flagrant foul for a hit that she put on Angel Reese when trying to stop an easy bucket. So here's Caitlin Clark after the game on ABC. She was asked about her intent with that foul, as well as Angel Reese when she was asked if the foul on Caitlin Clark was flagrant.
It's just a good take foul, you know. If you either Angel gets wide open 2 points, or you know, we send him to the free throw line. Nothing malicious about it. It's just a good take foul. Every basketball player knows that.
Basketball player, refs got it right.
Well, that was it. That's all she said.
Yeah, she was very like, hey.
What'd she even say? I could not understand.
She said it was a basketball play. Refs got it right. Move on.
Well, she's right. It was a basketball play. Did she end up missing those free throws? I think she missed both of those free throws.
I mean, that's the strategy I'm going with. Until she can hit them, just like Mitch Robinson, I'm putting her on the line.
You know, I was watching a good portion of that game. I just want people to know. She made the second. So she missed the first and made the second. It's the WNBA is in such a weird spot. Because it is getting more eyeballs. And it is... I think let's end the blitz here. I got to do 2 minutes on this. Is that okay? Did you have anything else juicy to air?
Nah, I could always, you know, put a stuff later. It's fine.
What was going to be the next one?
We were going to go Panthers and Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah, let's do this. Like last year, just women's college basketball in general, they wanted more exposure. And so they got more exposure. And then they didn't like the kind of exposure they were getting. But some of that exposure comes with more exposure. This should be, I mean, the reason that the Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky got the premier spot of the weekend television-wise is because of the rivalry between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark that has been festering since college. And it is a rivalry. And they're two players that are competitive against each other for basketball reasons, because they play each other in high-stakes games repeatedly. And they're both passionate people on and off the court. So these kind of moments are going to occur. And then when it does, which was why we tuned in for it, then it does, and now it's become a whole thing where Ryan Clark is yelling at RG3 about his wife. And that's not fair to the league. We're trying to grow the game. We're trying to grow this product. Like, it shouldn't be media dudes fighting each other. It's so stupid. There's a lot of good basketball. There's a lot of good basketball the game tonight. Paige Bueckers had a nice night. She had 19 points. Dallas lost to Seattle, but there's good basketball being played in the WNBA. And as long as we focus on that, that's what we should. Now, I say sometimes other unwarranted coverage comes. Yeah, it does. You're going to get scrutinized more. But this is not what that was. Anything related to this today was just ridiculous. And I don't know what the hell's going on there over at ESPN sometimes, but what a drama factory. My Lord. All right. Thank you. I've said my two cents. AJ Perez, the good, the bad, and the ugly with Brett Favre. You'll find out about it tomorrow. You'll hear about it next.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.